Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
If you have a dog, you might regularly face the problem of leaving it home by itself while you go to work, and with it, the danger that Rover might wreck the gaff. But now, here's a solution. A podcast for dogs. Dr. Alex Benjamin was one of the people who helped design it. Afternoon, Alex.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Why would a dog need a podcast?
Well, I think a part of the reason that we started doing this podcast was partly because dogs are such a part of our family. Why shouldn't they have their own podcast? I think the reason behind the kind of relaxing sort of sounds that we've used in the podcast is to be designed so that this can be left on perhaps for dogs who are left for a few hours in the morning or in the afternoon while their owner is at work. And with the idea that actually encouraging them to relax and rest and perhaps go to sleep so that they can conserve their energy for all the exciting fun things that you'll be doing with them when you get home.
Is there evidence that when dogs are left alone in houses that it produces anxiety in them?
Well, yes, certainly. In severe cases, dogs can present with separation anxiety that can cause them to be really upset while you're away, but also can then cause them to be destructive and chew the carpets or soil themselves and take a step back in their house training, for example. When separation anxiety is that severe, obviously, we would recommend they need to see a behaviourist, speak to your vet about it. A podcast is not going to solve a dog's separation anxiety. But for dogs who perhaps don't have separation anxiety itself, but maybe are just a little bit unsettled when their owner first leaves, we think that the sort of soothing voices and the affirmations might help a dog that would take a little while to settle down, to perhaps settle down more quickly. We also know that a lot of owners already leave the radio or the TV on for their dogs to kind of keep them company, give them something to listen to, but also just to mask the sounds of the outside world. So if you imagine you've left your dog and somebody knocks over the bins outside, that noise might startle them. But leaving them something to listen to helps to kind of distract from that noise as well as from covering it up a little bit as well. Mm. And so for dogs who tend to be maybe unsettled and be on high alert perhaps while their owners are away, we're hoping that this kind of podcast is something that owners can trust to leave on that isn't going to cause them any sort of surprising noises or anything that's going to make them jump, loud bangs or kind of fireworky noises, that kind of thing. So this is something that can kind of mask those surprising noises while also providing them with those soothing affirmations that will try and encourage them to settle down and go to sleep.
And stop them getting up to mischief, I suppose, as well.
Now,
in terms of the affirmations, obviously the dog can't literally understand what's being said. So is this more about tone of voice that dogs need to be, you know, a little bit of an ego boost every now and then?
Well, we actually think it's a little bit of both. So I think dogs are a lot smarter than people give them credit for often. And in our study at the University of York, I did a study a couple of years ago that where we looked at the type of speech that dogs pay attention to. And we found that when you speak to your dog in a sort of high-pitched, pitch modulating voice like you would when you first meet your dog, so saying things like, "Oh, you're such a good boy," rather than adult-directed speech, which is what I'm using with you now, dogs actually paid more attention to the dog-directed speech and spent more time with that person who had been using that kind of speech after the experiment. But actually, it was both the prosody or the intonation of the voice as well as the content that was important. So when we had people saying, "I went to the cinema last night and saw a really good film," actually, the dogs didn't pay as much attention to that kind of speech part, and we think that's because they're paying attention to the content as well as the tone of voice. So our dogs are learning this kind of vocabulary, things like dog and outside and ball and good boy and things like that, while we kind of, obviously when we're talking to them, they learn that those things mean good stuff is going to happen. Maybe you get given a treat or perhaps you then get taken out for a walk, for example. So we think actually it's both the content and the intonation that is useful for our dogs. They're definitely paying attention to both of those things. It's not just one or the other.
Right. Well, it may depend on the movie. If it was a movie about dogs, they might be very interested to hear. But is there a danger that if the dog hears that tone of voice, the dog then is saying, "Well, where's me treat? Where's the walk?"
Yeah, so really good question. And that's why I was I wanted to be involved in this at the beginning, because I think a podcast that's aimed to enrich a dog's life could actually be the opposite. So I wanted to make sure that this was something that wasn't going to wind our dogs up while they're away. For example, if you squeaked a toy at my dog over the radio, I'm sure he would then spend the rest of the afternoon looking for that toy and trying to find it, which obviously is not fair. So we wanted to try and make this things that are going to soothe the dog, but not things that are going to wind them up. So we've used voices that are really sort of soothing and steady and lower in pitch than perhaps you would use when you're meeting your friend's dog for the first time, and more along the lines of the type of voice that you would use when you're encouraging a young child to settle down and go to sleep. So things like, oh, you're a really good boy, thank you for lying down, why don't you go and have a rest, I'll be home soon, that kind of thing.
Right.
So we specifically avoided anything that we thought was going to encourage our dogs to be on alert or to be paying attention or to feel like they need to respond, because that could be quite frustrating. So if you ask the dog, you know, oh, where's the treat? And then they can't find it or they feel like they need to do something, that's not going to be very fair. So I wanted to make sure that this was something that was going to be, you know, a fun resource and a useful resource to leave on for your dog that isn't actually going to cause them more distress, because obviously that's not what anybody wanted.
In an ideal universe, would it be better if the podcast had the voices of the people the dogs live with?
It's hard to tell. I think the danger there is obviously if they recognise their owner's voice but can't find them.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't want our dogs to spend, again, that time thinking, well, why is my owner talking to me and winding me up and I can't find them and I want to be with them? So that would be a possibility. It might soothe some dogs might prefer their owner's voice and find that very relaxing and think, oh, it's okay, they're here somewhere, they're looking out for me, while others might find it more distressing. So we don't know the answer to that. And obviously, I think producing a kind of individual podcast for each dog would be quite time consuming.
It would be, yes, of course.
But some owners might, there might be people out there who have recorded themselves talking to their dog or use, for example, these pieces of technology where they can talk through like a two-way camera, so they can hear their dog if they're making a noise and then sort of say, it's okay, just go and lie down. For some dogs, that might be frightening, but for other dogs, that might be soothing. So it probably depends a lot on the experience the dog's had and also the personality, I guess, of the dog as well.
There's also music, as I understand it, on the podcast. How did you go about the process of selecting music that dogs like?
Yes, so the music side of things was done more by the producing team and some other academics. So I was less involved in that, but it was more to do with, so there's an hour of speech at the beginning, which I was involved in, and then there's 4 hours of music that's been written specifically for the purpose of this podcast. And the way that this was chosen is looking at research that has shown the types of music that tend to settle dogs rather than upset them. So there is evidence that dogs in shelters, for example, listening to classical music will show more relaxed behaviors like lying down, less panting, less pacing, whereas when they're listening to kind of hard rock, things with lots of changing rhythms and loud kind of bassy sort of more bangy noises, that's when they tend to show more behaviors that may suggest that they're distressed. So things like pacing and panting and whining or vocalizing. So it was kind of around that. And it was also around this idea that actually we wanted it to be something they could tune out. So something that actually is encouraging them to kind of relax. It's something steady that doesn't change too rapidly throughout the playlist. And then it's also, again, masking those outdoor noises. So there's some varied music in there. There's lots of kind of more upbeat and then more relaxing. It's the type of music that you might put on in the background when you're working or when you're trying to go to sleep yourself. So there's a mixture, really, and lots of different types of noises.
So is it kind of like ambient music?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of, when I listened to it for the first time, I thought it was like kind of an upmarket spa that you might go to and have this music kind of playing on in the background while you're having a nice massage or something.
Right. So it's
definitely relaxing. I would recommend it for humans as well as for dogs.
So dogs prefer Brian Eno to Metallica, for instance.
Well, I'm not sure. There might be some dogs out there that really like Metallica. But yes, and we would probably guess that on average, dogs would prefer to listen to something that's a little bit more soothing and more classical rather than the kind of exciting and more rock style that you would get from a Metallica.
The podcast is called My Dog's Favorite Podcast. Dr. Alex Benjamin is an associate lecturer at the Department of Psychology at the University of York. Alex, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So listen for a minute. Yes, best listening ears on, please. I've got to go outside and get some things done. I know, I wish I didn't have to either. It will probably be quite busy and quite loud, or it will be quite serious and boring. Either way, I wish I could stay here with you. But you don't need to worry about that, because I know you are going to have such a relaxing and enjoyable time right here. And I'm already looking forward to getting back home and giving you a big cuddle. I'm glad you're here, you know. I feel absolutely certain that you'll look after the place while I'm doing my chores.